In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 177, the best of 2016 episode, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Joe.
Intern. Hang on, this is 177.
All right, and this is our annual discussion of our favorite movies from the previous year, where we sort of run through our top tens and comment on each other's lists and make fun of each other for Hotel for Dogs and things like that.
No, no, furry vengeance.
Mostly it's make fun of me.
What's that?
Mostly it's make fun of me.
Well, yeah. That's why you're the intern.
If Bob is not, has Sing on his top ten list, I will personally quit the show.
Oh, yeah.
If Sing is not that top ten sheet.
If his top ten isn't all musicals, I'll be upset.
It can't be. There weren't that many.
There's a lot of musicals this year.
Oh, yep.
That's true. Sing Street, La La Land, there's three.
Sing.
Who's rustling the paperwork?
Animated films have a musical number.
Is that you, Joe, rustling the paperwork?
Yes, that's me. I apologize.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Kev, right,
well,
you want to kick it off?
Sorry, go ahead.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start? Oh, I'm Simon, by the way. That's Kevin.
Simon, why don't you start with your number 10 film?
I made 11 this year. I'm so happy with myself.
All right, then we'll do 11 then, just for you.
Okay.
And Spinal Tap.
So are we kicking it up to 11?
I just watched this film just before, about a couple days ago, Patterson.
Oh,
Patterson.
Absolutely loved it.
Is that actually a 2016 or is it 2017?
Okay, here's a question, Kevin. It didn't get a wide release till 2017.
But when did it come out?
2016 in a limited release.
Then technically 2016.
That's what I thought.
Yep. All right.
Okay, it's just about a guy that lives in a small town that writes poetry. That's all the film's really about.
Fantastic.
Absolutely loved it.
What did you like about it?
I like the poems. I like the relationship between Patterson and his wife. I like the people that Patterson met in the bar when he went for a walk. I liked everything about it.
There you go.
I just thought it was a really nice film. It was something different to see than the ordinary stuff I always sit through. Not going to blow you away, but it's pleasant.
It's pleasant, okay.
I mean, it's just nice. You know how I hate everything and you guys always complain? I enjoyed this.
So it was pleasant. And you
I thought it was a real couple. They seemed very real for me. I liked the poetry.
Well, and what I do you really, want? Sounds great.
And I really enjoyed the interaction of Patterson and the people he would meet all the time. On the bus.
Okay, so this is a Jim Jarmusch film.
Yeah, who I normally hate with a passion. So.
And it stars Kylo Ren.
Yes.
Okay.
Who I'm hot and cold on, too.
Yeah. He's a little bit too emo for me sometimes.
He's emo in this film, too, but he's pleasantly emo.
Okay, pleasant emo. Nice. All right, well, Bob, what's your number 11 pick?
My number 11 pick is Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, cool. I wanted to see that movie.
Yeah, I turned it on not expecting much, but I was, like, pleasantly surprised. I'm going, this is not bad. What?
That's who's in that? Is that
Amy Adams, of course, and
Jake Gyllenhaal,
and
Aaron Taylor
Shannon.
Johnson.
Michael Shannon's in it. I forget who else.
Michael Shannon's awesome.
Yeah.
It's
actually, I had a bit of an issue like with number 11. I wasn't. I could have picked any one of number of four films for number 11, but this one is it.
Okay, so this guy Amy Adams in.
Yeah.
Cool. It was number 12.
Yeah.
It's definitely an Amy Adams vehicle, because she's reading her husband's book, and
ex-husband,
and she's seeing herself in the book, and him in the book.
Right, yeah.
So when you're watching the book, when they're going through the nocturnal animals with the book, you see Amy Adams as one of the characters.
And he dedicated it to her.
And you see Jake Gyllenhaal, because he says to her, I couldn't have written this book without you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
So that's what it's about.
All right, well, my number 11 pick is Swiss Army Man.
Really?
Directed by Dan Kwan and starring Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe and Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
I did not understand the film, Kevin.
I don't think you're meant to. I think it was just weird.
Like, the end of it makes no sense to me. Him sitting with the farting guy all day didn't make any sense to me.
Well, Paul Dano, he's fled society and he looks like he's shipwrecked.
But how
and he encounters the body, washes up on the shore, and it's Daniel Radcliffe. And because the body has risen to the surface because it's full of gas from, obviously, from deteriorating. But as he does, the body is able to do things, like a Swiss Army knife. And it enables to help him light fires.
I understand that, but the end of the film made no sense to me.
Well, the end of the film was that he was crazy.
Yeah, he hit someone's backyard.
Everything I've heard about that movie is that it's kind of an existential parody.
It is.
It's like a satire of itself.
Yeah.
So I don't think you were supposed to. I don't think it was supposed to make a lot of linear sense, Simon.
Okay, because at the end of the film, we realize he's not on an island. And he's running crazy.
We're
and then someone's backyard.
Paul Dano made it all up, and we just saw his imagination.
Well, I don't think so. I think that's supposed to be real. I took it as real.
Well, at the end, the body. You know, doesn't it comes alive again? It goes racing out into the water.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that part's imaginary. I mean, I think everything, the interaction with the body's imaginary.
You are not.
I don't believe that the body came alive.
Right. I don't think so either.
But I think his imagination, because it was his phone that he found.
Yeah.
On the body.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Yeah, and it had the picture of Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who Paul Dano was in love with.
Yeah,
he pretended like she was something to.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, it was a weird little movie, and it was kind of fun and different. It was like, you know, you see so few original ideas. This came across as original to me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Which is why it's number 11. It's not in my top 10.
No problem. Charlie?
So we do a Joe. Do you have a something you want to?
I don't really have a list per se. I'm gonna chip in when I hear you guys say something I'm familiar with.
Okay, back to me then.
Back to you.
Sure.
The Yogamos Lang. I can't ever say his last name. Lang. The Lobsters. The movie.
Okay.
Did you see this, Kevin?
I did not see The Lobster. No.
Joe, I think you'll love this film. It's
okay. Is that one of mine?
Colin Farrell. And it's a world that you go. He gets. Some, I think his wife dies or she leaves him, so he has to go to a place and find a new mate. Actually,
on a point of clarification,
yes,
The Lobster is a 2015 release, so it's invalid.
Really? Because it didn't get a release until 2016.
No, it came out in Ireland in October 2015.
Okay, well, I had no access to it until 12. Okay, then fine, I won't discuss it.
All right, that's fine. I'll let you, on a technicality, I'll let you keep
Well,
it
didn't get released here until 2016.
Okay.
So, that's the thing. Oh, it came out in Ireland. Okay, that's, well, I didn't see it. But I think, Joe, you would like this. So, you have 90 days to find a mate. And if
it's
you don't,
a science fiction movie.
Yes, and if you don't find a mate, you get turned into an animal.
Okay.
And that's what the movie's about.
Damn, there's no hope for me yet, ever.
So, and that's, I don't want to tell you more than that because it kind of will ruin it. But he goes to dating a hotel where a bunch of people need to find mates or they get turned into animals.
Okay.
And then you go out and bag and tag people that have been turned into animals.
Okay.
And that's what it's about. I don't want to tell you more.
I heard about that.
Sounds a little trippy, but okay. I like it.
Yeah, I would think that's a good argument for settling. I think if you're available and I'm available, we're settling. I don't want to be an animal. But anyway. So he becomes a lobster?
I guess. He just left. He went upstairs.
A what?
Simon has left the building.
Simon has gone upstairs.
Well, I guess it was a good review. Yeah. Well, why don't you give us yours?
Mine?
Yes.
Well, Simon's not down here, but I'm going to make him very happy. Sing.
Sing was number 10?
If Sing isn't in my top 10, he's going to be very unhappy. He's going to quit the show. So I can't let him quit the show. Sing is number 10.
Really? You've seen this film 5 times, and it's only number 10.
4.5.
It's a kid's movie.
Yes.
Okay. Bob recently bought the soundtrack, Kevin.
Yeah.
To sing.
Yeah.
It's not the original songs. It's the actors singing the songs.
It was the actors singing the songs in the movie, too.
Can I finish speaking?
No.
Well, yeah, why not?
Because you're wrong.
Kevin.
Yeah.
When I go hear I'm Still Standing, sing by Tyler Edgerton, is that the real song, or is it him doing karaoke? Which one is it?
He's not doing karaoke. It's a cover. He's singing.
It's a cover, right. Bob bought a cover album. And he's trying to pass it off to me in the car as the real villain.
I'm not passing it off to you as the real
thing. I'm still speaking here.
I'm sorry. Cover albums are perfectly acceptable purchases.
That's what I'm asking.
You know, the Glee. Sure. Many people bought the Glee cast albums.
Bob did, too.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. If he enjoyed it, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm just asking. Okay, that's all I want to know.
Where'd you get the idea I was passing it off as the real thing?
We're over it now. We've moved on.
No.
He enjoyed the covers. He thought they were good.
I thought they were awful, but that's fine. Each his own.
All right. Well, my number 10 is The Shallows.
Wow, another film I didn't like.
With Blake Lively, she's trapped basically she goes out surfing on this remote beach. The shark definitely has a grudge against her and is almost like a supernatural force that follows her around, and she has to come to terms with it or die as meal for the shark. So,
well, isn't she only out there because those guys robbed her, or is that later when she's on there, they rob her?
No, there's another guy that robs her, but he becomes fish food too.
Yes, he does.
You know, he goes out to get something from the water, and the thing is, sharks can swim and they feed in the shallows, is what, I guess what the title of the movie is too. But, you know, she's trapped. She's on a rock which protects her, which is quite far out from the shore. But she's left her clothes there, and a drunken guy finds them and goes to steal them. But then he sees something as her surfboard is not far from the shore. So he goes to retrieve it because he knows it's valuable. And the shark eats him.
Yes, I remember that.
But, you know, everybody that goes into the water there is shark food. Okay. And so she ends up finding a creative solution to create, you know, it's either die or defeat the shark. It's like one or the other.
You just liked it because it's Jaws Jr.
I love Jaws, but this was it was an interesting film, and I thought she was good in it. So it put it above some of the other films I saw this year.
Fair enough. Bob, your next film?
Number 9.
Oh, a film that Kevin said he on Facebook he would not put in his top 10 list. Hunt for the Wilder People made me laugh so hard.
Which is this?
Hunt for the Wilder People. That New Zealand film?
It's a New Zealand film. It's got Sam Neill in it.
Oh, my God, Joe. I cried numerous times during this film.
Really?
I wish I saw it. This is my kind of filmmaking. Just jokes that shouldn't have gone far, but they did for me. Especially the guy trying to feed the fat kid a sausage. You must be hungry. Yeah. Have a sausage. Everybody offering him a sausage. I gotta
take a selfie, man.
Yeah, I gotta take a selfie. I found you. Or when they're in the cabin with the hunters, with Sam Neill. You know, sometimes he makes me do him. He don't want to play with me much. Oh, my God, Kevin, that was so funny.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the cabin. I just thought it was a really funny comedy, but I like quirky comedy, so.
It's I'm not saying I didn't like it, but it's like number 19 on my list.
I know. Or number 8. It did something for me.
Yeah, it just didn't. Something about it I didn't care for.
Joe, it's on Netflix now. You can find it.
I'll check it out.
And I think Sounds The Lobster good. Might be too, but I don't know.
Some people I know, like Troy Nixie and Joe O'Brien, were both saying very, very good things about it. It was one of their favorite films of the year.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically an orphan kid. He gets sent to live with a couple in the New Zealand wilderness, and the wife dies, and they're going to take the custody away from the husband. So right. The two of them set out into the woods, and they become the wilder people because okay. They live in the wilderness. But they survive for months on end because they know what to do. And there's a true, like a social services worker who pursues them doggedly. She's kind of like the Tommy Lee Jones of social workers.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so she does a whole bunch of public service commercials and things like that. It's cute. It's a cute family. I would say if you've got kids, too, it's a great movie to watch with the kids.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What's your number nine there, Bob?
Deepwater Horizon.
Deepwater Horizon. I don't know if I know that one.
It's a true story. Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell and Kate Hudson are in it. It's a true story of it happened. What was it? An oil rig blew up and they had to save them. And it just like interested me.
This is a Peter Berg directed Mark Wahlberg, Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I absolutely hated it. Thought it was boring, lackluster. I thought the acting was flat. But he liked it, that's fine.
I'm looking at the poster now, and I got to say, from the promotion, I would not want to see that movie. It looks like London Has Fallen and a bunch of other movies.
Felt like that to me.
It might be an okay film, but the poster advertising was very lame.
Well, Bob liked it. That's fine.
There's a tendency with movie promotion to fall back on standards, and this seems to be one of those
right
action standards.
See, I didn't go by the I didn't even look at the poster. I just heard the name, and I just watched the movie.
Oh, well, it's good that you liked it, Bob. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, you might take me to task for my number nine, which is The Conjuring 2. Which I enjoyed quite a bit.
Wow. I happen to like that movie, too.
Wow, two movies in a row.
I like the first one.
I love the first one.
And I love
the first one. The thing that bothered me about the second one was that, I'll give you a second to chat here, Kevin, just a second. Sorry about that. But the thing that bothered me with the second one was that I was kind of familiar with the case that it was based on. Because there was documentaries that were done. And just last year, there was a great British BBC series involved that haunting as well. So I have to admit that my opinion of The Conjuring 2 was kind of colored by those other ones.
I would say as a film, I enjoyed it, and I really liked the couple, the Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson couple, and I liked their dynamic. But they really had nothing to do with the original case. They were mildly involved.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Peripheral. Just like the same thing with the Amityville Horror, and that's at the beginning of this film, they address the Amityville case.
They do.
And tie that in strongly with this British case. Well, it's like basically she encounters a demon in the basement of the Amityville house, and that demon is the same demon that she encounters in the house in England. And it was there to kill her husband. She felt it was there to kill her husband.
Wow, okay.
And of course, it looked like Marilyn Manson.
It did.
Yeah. But I went and saw it in the theaters, and it was a good scare.
That's good.
You don't get that kind of, and I'm not a fan of horror films in general, but I liked, again, because I like this couple, and I like the idea of it, you know, like almost like supernatural Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You know, they're there to bust demons. But, I mean, if you look into, you know, when you get to the real case stuff, I mean, there's real case, elements of the real case that are in the film,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's still fictionalized to make this, you know, like it was part of the couple, sisters.
Right.
The Warrens. All right. Well, shall we move on to number 8?
Yep.
All right.
Number 8 is Moonlight.
Moonlight, nominated for many Oscars.
I thought this film was intense, hard to get into.
Yeah.
But I think about it all the time, things that happened and what a struggle it was for these characters. And I've never seen this kind of story before, and I thought they shot a very shoestring budget. I think that kind of showed.
Yeah.
And I really thought it had a good message at the end. I just really liked where it was going. I liked all the actors in it. It just worked well for me as a film. Bob watched it twice in this. I don't think he's ever finished it.
Okay.
It's intense, though. I can see why people do not like this film. But it appealed to me in some way.
I didn't realize there was a backlash against this film.
Is there?
I don't know. You're saying that people don't like it?
I think it's a very intense thing. I mean, it's about a gay boy that doesn't know he's gay until later, and is constantly being picked on.
Okay.
By everybody. And then when he finally lashes out, he gets in trouble.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the heavy parts of the film. But I think in the end, he finally finds happiness, which made me feel good about it. I felt bad for the character.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I think it's worth watching, but it's just a very, very heavy film, I think, for most people.
Okay. Yeah, I've not seen much about it. All I know is that it's up for a couple of Oscars.
Yeah, I think Marsha Ali will win for Best Supporting Actor, for sure.
Okay.
He was very good in it.
Okay, cool. What's Bob's number 8 pick?
Number 8, Simon will be happy again about this one, maybe. Sing Street.
Oh, I have no issues with Sing Street. I love Sing Street. I told you the praise of Sing Street for both of you.
I know, and based on your recommendation, I saw the movie and I'm going, this is pretty good. Like it starts off with just him with a guitar and then he forms a band. And he keeps going until they do the school dance or something. I thought it was really well done.
I completely agree. It ranks much higher on my list.
Mine too.
It's on Netflix, Joe, so I highly recommend this one.
No, no,
okay, dope.
Sing Street, you will not have any regrets watching this.
Absolutely,
one.
No regrets, Joe.
Well, you'll know why I put it as number 8 as opposed to like higher up, because there are movies I thought were better than Sing Street, but not by much.
Does that make sense? Both of us were 80s kids, so this is it's almost like growing up in England in the mid 80s and how you deal with school and bullying and economic.
Sounds great.
And music videos and all the things that were changing.
I like the brother a lot. He doesn't get a lot of credit.
The brother who introduces him to a lot of music.
Yeah, well, the girl the girl he's interested in says, you've got to write different songs. And he goes to his brother, what is this? And he plays him different music.
And so you can tell, like, as he's introduced to each band, you can see how they have an influence in his writing. Just fantastic. I can't recommend it higher. But
I agree. It's a must watch.
All right, well, my number 8 is The Midnight Special.
Wow, which I did like. But not, did
directed by Jeff Nichols, Michael Shannon, Joel Edgerton, Kirsten Dunst. To me, this was like the Stranger Things of movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, this kid has mysterious powers, and you don't know what it is, but things happen around him, and, you know, the government is after him, and you know, he looks at the sky, and all of a sudden, you know, meteorites start falling down all around them, and all sorts of weird things are going on. And it turns out he's somehow connected to another dimension that's just right, like the next door. So, you know, as they get closer to their destination, that other dimension, which is just like subtly on a different plane from ours, starts to phase into our reality. So you start to see structures and vehicles and things like that from this other realm just start to invade our own. It's really fantastic. It's a weird little science fiction movie that, in a lot of ways, to me, is like an 80s film.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Presents itself
Lex
as
Darman.
A great film.
Yeah. And I thought the, of course, Michael Shannon is always really good, and Joel Edgerton as well. So there's no bad part of this. So, awesome.
It's an excellent right. film.
So how about number 7?
Moana.
Moana, eh?
Another musical. I absolutely love this musical. I still play the soundtrack in my car every day with my kids.
Wow.
We sing all the songs. The Rock blew me away. What a good job it was. And like animation popped for me, which I always look for in an animated movie. Like, if that makes sense, I need to see something different. And I really like the blend of colors in it. I thought the songs were all appropriate at the time.
Right. Yeah.
Like, my favorite song is You're Welcome. And he's telling the girl everything he did because he's a demigod. Look at everything I did for you. And you're welcome. I did it.
Yeah.
And every time the song shows up, it fit the time for me. When she's leaving home, they play a song and it worked. And when they go, another favorite's when they visit the gigantic turtle and likes everything shiny, and they do like a David Bowie kind of tribute.
Yeah.
Shiny, da na 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 na, shiny. And it's perfect. Every song to me worked where it's supposed to work.
I agree with you.
And the movie wraps up nicely. It makes sense. It's all happy. I'm like a solid Disney. And it's not like your normal princess movie. Like Frozen's a little princessy still.
Yeah.
Moana, yeah. I thought she was a real person.
That's because she's like,
oh, okay.
She's a chief.
She's a chief. But I mean,
daughter of a chief.
The voice worked for me. The acting worked for me. The storyline worked for me. Very, very
cool. Much. I still haven't seen it, so I can't place it in mine.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
All right. Well, Bob, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is Queen of Katni.
I thought I heard somebody say Queen of Katni again.
Katni.
Oh.
I like, okay. Here's the reason why. In high school, I learned to play chess. I was on the chess
club. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense now.
She was in a poor village, and she got, like, she was able, through her learning to play chess, and she got better and better, and she was a master at chess, and she got to experience, like, go out in the world and play chess with other people. And by the end, it introduces her character, and the whatever the character's name was, it introduces the real persons and the actors at the same time. Like, they meet.
Oh, at the end of the film.
At the end of the film. And I thought the film in itself was like, David O'Yellow, whatever his name is, I thought he did a really good job of teaching her how to play chess. And, like, being playing chess myself, I thought this was interesting, so.
I think you're doing the movie some injustice. Kevin, they're from a very poor African neighborhood.
Said that.
Yeah.
Like dirt poor, like shack poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy started a chess club just to keep the kids off the street.
Right.
And David Oyelowo's character has to fight for the kids to get them to go to different places. So he has to find them a boss, and they won't let them play because they're from the slums.
Mm-hmm.
And he fights for them. So, I mean, it is based on a true story. It is very well done. It just, I figure you should go in cold and not know the ending of the film. Or know much specifics, and I find it works better.
Mm-hmm.
If you write about it ahead of time, it may not work as well.
That's what I didn't read about it ahead of time. I just heard about the film, and I thought, okay.
Yeah, no problem. I've seen it. That's not me. I don't have anybody. I don't have
that's, you know what's happening is that somebody's messaging me on Facebook.
Oh,
I'll have to shut that down.
Okay. I'm
probably still going to run through on my iPad.
Kevin's turn, right?
My number 7 is the complete opposite. It's that imperialist bastard Tarzan in The Legend of Tarzan. Which I enjoyed a lot. I mean, this was the Tarzan movie that we were waiting for after Greystone. You know. You guys there? Or you
I'm listening. No, I'm listening. You're talking
with awe that I would like this movie. Stellan Skarsgård, man, he's ripped, that guy. And, of course, you can't go wrong with Miss Harley Quinn as Jane.
Stellan Skarsgård's a good actor, too, man.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
And it's, you know, this is intelligent Tarzan. This is, you know, Tarzan after a number of years living in London. He's civilized, but not civilized. He's now the Tarzan that we know from the books and the stories, which is he walks both worlds. You know, and while he's in the jungle, he's civilized. He's a bright, intelligent guy, and he's able to communicate, and he's anti-slavery, he's pro Africa. He's there to help his friends out, and you see a lot of the tribe that he grew up with, and their their rituals and so forth. And you also learn a lot about the Mangani, which are the apes that raised him.
Mm-hmm.
That and this is probably the first movie that addresses that those apes were not normal apes.
That's something very very prevalent in the books. Mm-hmm. But that's never really been dealt with in the movies.
Yeah, I mean one of the reasons why Tarzan is, I mean, if he'd been with normal gorillas, maybe he might not have survived. The thing about the Mangani was that they were a little bit more evolved. You know, they were bigger and they had a very strong sense of society, community.
No, I thought this film was okay. I just wish it was a little better written. I love the action scenes. I thought Skarsgård was perfect as Tarzan. I thought Margot Robbie did a good job with Jane. I just didn't like the storyline. I'm like, I need more from this.
But it was directed by David Yates, who did almost all the Harry Potter movies from the last five or six of them.
He did. Everything after three, I think.
Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård. I thought I heard Stellan.
Yeah. No, yeah, Stellan's playing Skarsgård in the 70s.
No. Stellan could have been an old administrator or something, so.
Yeah, he could have.
But, as I said, I liked it. I liked the look of it. I liked the feel of it. It's an old-style adventure movie. If you like the character of Tarzan, you're going to like the movie. I just don't think there are enough people out there that like the character of Tarzan enough, other than maybe the kids remember the Disney movie. And that's a completely different animal to me. All right?
Yeah, all good.
All right, so why don't we do number six?
Number six, I have Marvel Civil War.
Oh, great movie.
Absolutely love this movie from beginning, middle to end.
Mm-hmm.
I was so impressed by this film. For a film, I was sort of like, really, Civil War? Do I really want to watch this?
Yeah.
When Spider-Man showed up, was quirky and friendly and funny. Yeah,
That was very much the Avengers movie that I always wanted to see.
That was it. That's what I could. It's my favorite Avenger movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that more and more.
I like that movie quite a lot. It's not as good as Winter Soldier.
I agree. Winter Soldier is probably a better movie. But I see Winter Soldier as more as a Cap movie, and I see this as more of an Avengers movie.
Yeah, well, this is almost like capping. It's resolving Iron Man's story, Captain America's story, and introducing a whole bunch of players for the next round of Marvel films and how they're going to interact. I liked it a lot. I can't complain. My only complaint is that Zemo, I wish Zemo was a Nazi.
Right.
You know? I think Marvel has a real problem with villains.
They do. And Zemo didn't really do much.
No, he just manipulated them into fighting.
I know, but I mean, they need to have a good villain. Like, where's Kang?
Well, from what I understand, Thanos, they're going out of their way to make him...
evil?
Evil, but a fully realized character.
Well, that would be nice, because it's Thanos, yeah. And he's had all his lackeys working for him for 10 films.
Yeah.
Let's see him do something.
And of course, you can't go wrong. The Spider-Man sequence in this film was fantastic.
Yes, that's
the movie.
Can I say, like, you've seen Lego Batman, right, Kev? And you have two, Bob?
Yeah.
My new favorite phrase is, Iron Man sucks. When I heard that, I cried. Absolutely cried.
That's the password to the Batcave.
That's the password to the Batcave. What's the password? Iron Man sucks.
That's hilarious.
That was perfect. I couldn't stop laughing today.
Yeah.
But that's for another show. I just wanted to get that in because we're discussing Iron Man.
That's funny. That's
have we had enough of Tony Stark? Could he just go away now? But he's in the next film, too.
He's in the Spider-Man film. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the end of that, right?
Film. He's in the Spider-Man film, and he's all over the Infinity War movies. So.
And then we're done with Tony Stark?
Yeah.
I think that Tony Stark may disappear after the...
Yeah, but they can replace him. I have no issues with that. I just don't want to lose Chris Evans.
Well, you know, Chris Evans has said he, you know, at one point they were saying that was it, but now he's saying he doesn't know. Maybe he'll change his mind. You know, it all depends. He says he's if the script interests him and there's a role for Cap that he's interested in playing, then he'll come back and do more after that. Or maybe it'll just be cameos.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But Marvel's done a great job, so I have no issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is also on my list, but it's higher up.
Wow, okay. Well, I've made five on mine. Six, so.
Six, yeah. What about Bob? What's number six?
I don't know.
Fences. Denzel Washington, Viola Davis.
Oh, that's why you came after me so hard on Twitter about Fences.
Yes. Because there was one scene I got to. I was enjoying the movie. Like, it went along. All of a sudden, I find out Denzel cheated on Viola. I go, what? It's just like, wow, okay, so I have to watch the rest of this. Then he's going after his son with a baseball, oh no, his son's going after him with a baseball bat. Because, like, he wants his son to be better than he was, but he's not proving that, he's proving that his son is better than him now. But I thought this was really well done, like, this, like, when Simon said it's a movie that, like, Denzel, this is the best Denzel movie ever, with Denzel and Viola did a really good job, I thought, okay, let's see the movie. I started watching the movie, okay, this is okay, and then I get to that one scene, I'm like, whoa! Actually, there was a few scenes, but that's okay.
I thought the scene with Corey, when he gets mad at him at near the end of the film, which is the last half an hour, I'd say, was a little intense.
Yes.
When he wouldn't let him go in the house because he wouldn't say something to him, I thought that was intense.
Well, he kept on saying, like, this goes back because Denzel's character goes back to, like, I guess this is done in the 1930s or something, right?
40s.
Okay, it's older. And I'm thinking, okay, this is how my dad grew up because he would have to cut, like, he'd have to call him sir, like, your elder sir, but he didn't have, my dad didn't have his father passed away when he was 3 months old. So, but this is how my dad, he explained this to me, that this is like what it was like back then. And I'm going, oh, okay. And then I'm understanding more and more. But I really like this movie. It was like Denzel did a great job, like, emoting the character. Is that the right word?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay. And Viola blew up at him almost near the end. And she's saying, When she found out that he was having an affair on her, she blew up at him.
Well, she shouldn't have.
Really?
I mean, she was so nice to him.
Yeah.
And he was such a dick to her and her son.
Yes.
So, no, I know.
She shouldn't have blown up at her?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, she
yes.
should.
Yes. Okay. Kevin.
I haven't seen that movie, so I don't. No. I have no comment.
Okay.
My number six is The Nice Guys.
Wow. Oh, my God. Awesome.
The Nice Guys is so awesome. Shane Black with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling.
I've seen it. Did you see it? In February.
What's that?
I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I just saw it recently, and I loved it. I'm like, why did I wait so long to see this movie? This is now, like, one of my favorite movies of the year.
I could see you.
I thought about a month ago, and I felt the same, actually. I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, I just loved the characters. I loved the storyline. I loved everything about it.
Very, very, well, it's very, very Shane Black, too. It's very...
Oh, absolutely.
Very much that sort of movie. Like, if you liked Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, you'd definitely like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, or even Iron Man 3 to a certain extent.
I like
Russell Crowe. So, yeah. I'm astonished by how Russell Crowe is slowly becoming John Goodman.
Yes.
I don't think I'm the first person to have noticed that,
no.
But it still surprises me. Not that that's a bad thing, it just surprises me.
Yeah. Well, you stopped trying to be pretty boy Russell Crowe, which was probably a good idea for it.
Well, absolutely. How many pretty boys do you need in their 50s?
Well, so, and he wasn't that good as a pretty boy in those films.
Like, no, it never worked for him.
It never worked. He was always better as that gristly. Look at Gladiator. He's not a pretty boy.
Gladiator, Romper Stomper, those movies where he's
I've never seen Romper Stomper.
Yeah. I like the ship movie, Master and Commander.
Oh, God, we're not going back there, are we?
I like that film a lot.
That was like 14 years ago or 13 years ago that came out?
Yeah. Anyway, he's a good actor. I mean, the last good thing I'd seen him in was Man of Steel. He was the only good thing about that movie.
I love Man of Steel.
You loved Man of Steel? What?
No, I love, I hate Superman.
Yeah.
Every time they make Superman a schmuck, I love it.
You'll enjoy Batman. Well, you probably enjoyed
Batman kicked his ass. Perfect for me.
Yeah.
You know that, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's not on my top 10 list. Don't worry. You're not going to find a surprise number one or anything.
All right. Number 5.
Sing Street.
Ooh. Sing Street.
Which we've discussed. So yes. I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah. What about Bob?
That's fine. Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures.
Solid pick.
Yes.
I can see that. No problems. I like Hidden Figures a lot.
I thought I was gonna have to defend this.
No, that'd be like number 12 on my sheet.
Yeah. Like the reason I liked it was okay. It's the sending man to the moon, and the black women were trying to get into the real whatever because they were in data processing like the and then Kevin Costner's character, like, he supports her and he says, but he's wondering, why do you disappear on me? Where do you go? Because she says there's no colored washrooms, like she has to run across half the compound to get there. So he takes a sledgehammer. I love this part. He takes a sledgehammer and knocks down the sign. He says, okay, that's it. Everybody can use the same washroom. He was really a defender of, or his character was really a defender of, like, the black women, like, trying to get
ahead. Black rights?
Black rights, yes.
Yeah,
civil rights.
I think you're talking this down a little bit more. Kevin. Tyra B. Henson, they need a person that's like a human calculator. So she gets moved up. She's in like the clerical pool, so they move her up to do calculations with Kevin Costner. So she's like in Command Central. And the problem is they keep changing her calculations every day.
Okay.
And she keeps asserting herself and finally goes, look, I can't keep doing this. So eventually they accept her as one of their own.
Yeah.
And you see that with all of them. And the Octavia Spencer sees her, they bring in an IBM computer, and you can see her being phased out. So she goes to the library to get a book. And they said, well, you can't have that book. There's books in the colored section. Uh-huh. So she just takes the book, and she learns to teach herself how to program an IBM. So at the end of the film, it tells you what happens to everybody. And she becomes in charge, the first black supervisor in NASA.
Right.
And stuff like that. So it's a very good pro-black woman movie for that time.
Okay, I've heard a few criticisms of it.
Well,
it doesn't go as far as some people would like.
I don't think it can with the framing on the film. Mm-hmm. It's set up to be a family movie.
Right.
And it stays there. Stays on course.
Okay.
Cool.
Am I wrong, though?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Like it happened. I need your pick.
Well, you said you started off on me saying you're not giving it enough credit.
I think you should give it more credit. I think it's a solid show.
All right. Well, my number 5 is Star Wars Rogue One.
Love it. Love this movie.
Yep, no, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the other four films I picked above it. But it was good, solid Star Wars action. This is the Star Wars movie we wanted to see in 1977.
Absolutely.
Or for me, it was more the one I wanted to see after Empire.
Yeah, I
enjoyed the casting. I thought that was very good. It was funny watching. I put on Amazing Spider-Man 2 the other day, and there's Jenna Orso as the Black Cat.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm like, wait a second, I know that girl. No, I mean, my only criticisms were minor with the 3D on Tarkin and the awful on Princess Leia at the end.
Yeah.
Minor troubles.
I would have liked that movie to have had about, I think I said this when we reviewed it, I would have liked that movie to have about 5 more jokes in it and not all of them. But apart from that, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, because every joke was, oh, look, here's a character from episode 4. Or from episode 3.
Yeah, it was very fan servicey that way. But any of the other humor in the movie came from one character, and that's not enough for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, exactly.
A Star Wars movie, to me, everybody gets a wisecrack in at least one, yeah. Or at least one good. I got a bad feeling about this, or whatever, right? But still, something like that takes a bit of the pressure off. Now. Yeah. They wanted the movie to stay high pressure, and I understand that. But you still, I think there's more to Star Wars than the characters, which is something that I don't think that Mr. Lucas really understood. But I really like that picture too.
Yeah. All right, guys, number 4.
La La Land.
Oh my gosh!
Absolutely love this film from the opening number to the last song of the film.
Wow.
It appealed to me. I watched the opening number 3 times just to make sure. I love it. I enjoy the music. I know it's very simplistic. I know it's very basic, but I love it. I love the soundtrack. It works for me. Is it an in-depth film? No, but I watched it again, yes. I love it. I absolutely love La La Land. So that's really my name. I thought Ryan Gosling works. I like the Amy Adams. Emma Stone character. I love the dance sequences. What can I say? I've been to MGM musicals, I guess, lately. I've watched a lot of those. Maybe that's why this appealed to me so much. Absolutely loved it.
I still haven't seen it, so I have no idea.
Well, I hope you like it.
Huh. I'm kind of like Bill Maher. It's like, what the frick was in with the La La Land? Why do I have to see La La Land? I'll see it eventually. Bob?
Well, Simon's going to be shocked at this one. Number 4, La La Land. Okay. I first saw this at the film festival, and like I didn't usually, this is my type of film, right? But other than the song City of Stars, and there's a couple of dance sequences, I'm going, this is nothing special. The two people I was with, one person got up and left. The other person hated it. And I'm sitting there saying, am I missing something? Because, like, everybody else in the theater, there was, like, I don't know how many people were in Thompson Hall Theater. But anyway, I thought, okay, I'm missing something. Because everybody else was telling me, you're missing something. You got to see it again. I thought maybe, okay, I wanted more from the movie or something. Maybe that was my problem. So I actually went to see it again. And I thought, okay, I like it better this time. I like the opening dance number. I like the city. I still like the City of Stars number. I like the last scenes. I like the where they all dress in white and everything. They all go for a dance. But I should have liked this more. But
come on, you didn't like when she said to the cover band, "Can you play Iran? Iran."
Yeah, he hated
doing John Legend, I thought, was fantastic. Yes, I think this film just works.
It would have been cool. It originally started as further down on my list. Because
the thing is, you hated it the first time I see it.
Yes.
So it came back really strong.
Yes. Because I kept reading, okay, everybody was having good reviews about it. Rotten Tomatoes says 93% Rotten Tomatoes on, which, and I read the 7% who didn't like it. And I'm going, why didn't you like it? And I'm reading their comments, and I'm going, maybe that's what I'm missing. And then I thought, and somebody else said, somebody I know from school, and they live in BC now, says, I wanted more from the movie. Maybe that was my problem in the first place. I was expecting more, and I wanted more the first time. But the second time I saw it, I think I might have misjudged it. Obviously. Maybe. So I did. Mm-hmm. So I went to see it again.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Well, I mean, is it going to be the best picture, do you think?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. 100%.
Maybe. You've got one or two other ones that are vying for that title.
This one certainly has that momentum going for it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, my number four is the exact opposite. It's Doctor Strange.
Oh, God.
Directed by Scott Derrickson. Benedict Cumberbatch, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Rachel McAdams, Dormammu, Wong. A whole bunch. I enjoyed this film quite a lot.
I liked it.
Good, strong Marvel film. Great introduction to the...
strong Marvel film. I liked it, too. I don't know if I didn't see enough to say that it would be not one that I would put on my top 10 list, but I liked it a lot. I'm not really complaining about it.
No. I mean, I have a tendency to pick superhero films anyway in my top 10, and to me, this was the third best superhero movie of the year.
Wow, third best. So Civil War is number one.
So I enjoyed this quite a lot. I mean, the effects were, the whole mirror world sequence was just mind-blowing.
Oh, my God.
That was real. I love that. That was
good. Yeah, some of the best effects were kind of neat.
Kevin's got Deadpool ranked high then.
Yeah.
Okay, number three. Manchester by Sea.
Oh.
Manchester by the Sea, really.
Absolutely love this film. Another intense film with 2:45 running time.
It's also got good buzz on it, too.
I really liked it. It appealed to me. I mean, it's intense again. I think a little more structured than Moonlight. And it had definitely better story than La La Land. I just liked it. It appealed to me. I love Casey Affleck as an actor. Oh, God. I love Kyle Chandler. Lucas Hedges, I thought, was admirable. Michelle Williams did a great job, and it just worked for me.
I've watched the first 10 minutes, and so far, I like it.
So on every level, it just worked for me as a film. I don't know what else to tell you other than that to see it.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
I don't hear that much of the time. I just want me to ruin the story. I mean, I have to get into it a little bit more. Obviously, Kyle Chandler's the dad. He dies, and Casey Affleck gets his son. And he doesn't want a son. And that's really what the film's about.
Okay. Cool. What's Bob's pick?
Oh, is this number three?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Moana.
What? Really? I love this film. No,
I loved it. That's like you were saying it before about the songs. I also bought the soundtrack to that. I thought it was like she grows up she's being pulled in three different directions because her parents want her to do one thing, she wants to do another thing. And her destiny is like something else entirely.
Well, grandma tells her to go.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, my grandma.
Yeah, it's grandma. I like the grandma part.
Grandma's great. Yeah. Grandma's song is good, too.
Yeah. And I thought, like you said, the songs all work and where they were placed. And I'm going, she's got one that's like, I like this girl as a singer because she's, I am Moana. And that sort of gave a chill when I heard that. And then there was another song that sort of like got to me, but... I forget what that is. And then there's the one with the boats and
what?
You do the drums and it's really good.
There you go. Who is playing music?
I just plugged my phone into my computer.
Oh.
Sorry. Whoa.
Told you.
That's what happened. My iPad is close to the computer. Whoa. Sorry. You there?
I'm here.
Yep. All right. Is it time for me to do my number three?
It is. Let's take your phone away.
All right. My number three is Deadpool.
Oh.
Love Deadpool.
Yeah,
great movie.
So much fun. And considering how much I hate that character.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, really. That has a lot to do with it for me, too, is that I was surprised how much I liked it, given how little I care for the character in general.
Yeah. And Ryan, I think partially because Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Yeah. In every respect, he just completely sold that part. I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It was just a fun actioner. Even that opening sequence, you know, with the generic labels over who the cast members were and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Colossus cameo and...
Colossus was my favorite superhero in any movie this summer, actually.
I can't praise this one enough. It was a tough call between it and Doctor Strange, but I think I had more fun at Deadpool than I did at Doctor Strange. Not to say that I didn't have fun at Doctor Strange. The whole sequence with his spirit form as he's in the hospital directing her how to do the operation.
Oh, yes.
Was quite funny.
That was good.
And had some good moments, but Deadpool just was a real surprise. Especially considering how badly Fox has handled the X-Men.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Yeah. Although I did watch Legion this week.
And
it was different, but it was good. It was an entertaining launch, and it's just a complete mind screw job.
There's another superhero show that's called Powerless.
So should I watch it or no? I didn't watch it.
I'd say, yeah, it's heading to the point where you start to see mutants, and I think they're building... They're going to do a better job of building the X-Men universe on TV than they have in the films, I think, in the long run.
Getting off topic, they launched it in the States already, but Justice League Action? I just saw it Friday.
I hear it's awful.
I don't know. I've only seen one episode, so I can't really say.
I hear compared to the older Justice League, the Bruce Timm one, that it's terrible.
Oh.
Well, it's kind of hard to be better than that.
Yeah.
That was really about as good as I think TV superheroes ever got.
And then there's another superhero-based TV show called Powerless. I PVR'd it, I think, and I haven't watched it yet, but it's supposed to be.
No, it's not high on my list of things to see.
Okay.
I've got enough CW shows to keep me going for a while. You know, Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. And then on top of that, you've got Gotham.
I missed the episode where they introduced Commander Steel. I'm going, what? Where did that happen?
In Gotham?
No, in Legends of Tomorrow.
I don't watch it.
Oh, you should. It's good.
Anyway. It's different. Yeah. It's good. I mean, they introduced a lot of...
And Vixen.
They're all up.
Hey, it's like nothing compared to Riverdale. I love Riverdale.
I haven't seen that yet either. I want to see that.
Kevin, you watch Riverdale?
I love Riverdale.
Oh my god, it's like the Archie show I've been waiting my whole life to watch.
And you know what? Every character is true to their comic roots. It's like, it's uncanny. It's like an adult version of Archie, but all of the characters, you understand... Betty and Veronica, well, you understand why they're best friends, and they still fight over Archie.
Yeah.
You know, why is Archie unable to make a decision? You can see it on screen. He's just...
I've been saying this for myself like a precious little flower, and I'm probably going to binge the first three episodes this week.
Okay, I have one question, Kevin. Should Betty be cuter?
I think the girl that plays Betty is very cute.
See, she doesn't do anything for me.
Really?
Sign me up for Veronica.
In a perfect universe, Betty and Veronica would be played by identical twins and their hair color would be different.
Well, that's what I was hoping.
But you're not going to get that. So,
Well, my God, when they make out in the first episode, of course, it's every guy's fantasy.
And what's up with Tops? He doesn't look happy enough.
Yeah.
And Midge hasn't shown up yet. I'm still looking for her.
Who? Midge.
Midge.
No, she's been mentioned.
And Jughead was perfect.
Huh. Jughead, you know what? I didn't like him at first, but he's grown on me.
Well, he didn't do much in that first episode other than just sort of be there.
But he's our narrator.
Yes.
I can't wait to see where this goes. I love the fact that it's on Netflix the next day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so all three episodes are available on Netflix.
Wait, there's a third episode?
Yeah. Every Thursday.
Oh, crap. I didn't watch Riverdale 3 then. I've only watched first two.
You're not going to be playing Apple, Simon.
Oh, I got to go, guys. I got to put Riverdale on.
You're going to like who's playing Apple a lot.
Okay, he's from
another cult show, right, that Denise watched this summer.
There's a bit of a crossover between other very popular cult shows.
Okay, I'll tell you after I've seen it. Okay, where are we?
Number two.
Your turn for two.
Deadpool.
Yay.
Absolutely watched this opening carport scene over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Insane.
It's so good. Perfect. That's it. Deadpool, drop the mic. Watch it.
Oh my gosh. Is that, you're done with that though?
I'm done. I got one more.
Well, you'll be happy with this then. It's also on my number two. It's my number two as well. But it was number one for the longest time, but something, I saw something after that and it just like, moved it down. So Deadpool's been like 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, ever since it came out. I just can't. There's two scenes at the beginning. I just can't. Like, every time I see, he's hitting Colossus, but nothing happens to Colossus. His hand goes.
Oh, that's the best. And
I can't stop laughing, and I laugh every time I've seen it. I've seen it four times. There's another one where he says nothing. No, there was no killing. There was no killing or something, and this guy falls off the bridge.
Oh, so he says, funny.
He was there.
Or the end scene where they have the big ending battle. I've watched that a few times.
Yeah.
I just love this film. And I watched the pegging scene because it makes me laugh so hard.
Well, all the scenes with the cab driver.
Oh, my God. In the truck, and the guy's banging the truck.
I didn't tell him to do that. Yeah.
I love this movie. Absolutely love it.
Well, my number two is Captain America Civil War.
No issues.
I think it was the best superhero film of the year. That's everything has been building up to that giant superhero slugfest in the airport.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which was just like, I don't know, what was that, 10, 15 minutes of just superhero nirvana.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Watching all these characters interact and showing off their powers and interact like, little bits like Spider-Man and Captain America. Where are you from, kid? I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Queens. Well, I'm from Brooklyn myself. You know, like just little bits, like little character moments that I really enjoyed. And then, of course, Ant-Man going to Giant-Man. And
oh, that was awesome. We don't have a giant.
Yeah. Okay. Has anybody else on the team got any hidden powers that they would like to reveal at this point?
That was so good.
Yeah. And you know when Falcon and Winter Soldier take on Spider-Man, and they're in the little food court area. And they're just sort of, he's like hitting Spider-Man. And he goes, stops. He goes, oh, cool! You have a metal arm. Oh, that's awesome. Kid, you're not supposed to talk so much.
Yeah.
In these fights. So.
Remember that old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. How old is this kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just great moments, great acting, and definitely, I mean, I understand why it's a Captain America movie, because it really ties up the story that started in Captain America 1 with Bucky, and now Bucky's been rejuvenated, and...
Well, he was set by his wife, so...
So I'm anxious to see what 2017 has in store for Marvel Universe. So, all right, guys, number one.
Rogue One, all the way.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely can't wait to watch this on my 75-inch screen when it comes out on 4K.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to sit there and rewatch this film. I absolutely love this film. I'm overlooking my only two minor issues were Tarkin and Lance. Uh-huh. Everything else worked perfectly for me.
I didn't think Tarkin worked that badly, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Leo was too much.
I loved them all. Dying at the end, I'm like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. Everything I wanted. Adats on the beach. K-9-2-9 having a big fight. Felt like a Death Star battle, not on a Death Star. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love when Vader chokes out.
He sent Vader back in his alpha position.
Yeah, Vader choking people out. And you're like, you go, why is Vader a badass? Watch this. Vader just cutting people out.
That sequence when Vader's after the Rebels and they're on the ship.
And they're trying to pat her hot potato and they're just getting cut down. I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
It's pitch black and then you see the lightsaber.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, they're dead.
Yeah.
You guys are dead.
Yeah.
And it starts to, Darth Vader is a horror character.
Yeah, and I agree.
When we were kids,
he's like Jason with a lightsaber.
And I thought that was interesting. I like the little sequence on the planet. Here we go. Why has he got a temple on the planet where he lost his arms and legs? That makes no sense. But I guess that's the Emperor's way of making you feel humble.
I think so.
But you notice that was the only planet that didn't get named.
Yeah.
I also thought it was weird that there were all sorts of things that they showed us in the trailers that we didn't see in the final product, which means either half the film probably reshot.
I never saw trailers, so I don't know.
Yeah, well,
you avoid trailers, so it would have all been a surprise to you.
Everything was a surprise to me.
I like Force Awakens more.
I absolutely do not.
It's interesting you mention that, Kev, because I just recently... I've been exploring fan edits lately.
Yeah.
And one of the fan edits for Force Awakens moves the end of the movie forward a bit and makes it so that when the Starkiller base destroys the other planets, it happens at the end of the movie just before the base explodes.
Okay.
And it kind of sets it up better so that it's a little less anticlimactic when... And it's a little less like Episode 4. It's a little less like the original Star Wars that way.
Yeah.
And it tightens things up a little bit. But I really had an affection for Force Awakens that I didn't have for Rogue One. Because as I said previously, I liked Rogue One a lot. And I love the intensity of the battles. But I found it a little humorless. So
I did too. And at times I thought it was more like Star Wars cosplay.
Definitely Star Wars fanfic is what it was. But yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, it fleshes out the story leading in, and I'm glad that we've got it.
Don't get me wrong, the action sequences in that movie are incredible, and I love the grittiness of it, and I love the intensity of the movie overall, but it didn't feel as Star Wars to me as a Star Wars movie should feel like, if that makes any sense, so...
Well, and you know, it didn't have some of the Star Wars movie tropes.
Yeah.
The opening crawl and I've got a bad feeling about this and things like that. But you know, I have the same feeling about Rebels, which I enjoy quite a bit.
Yes. So,
and it all fits together. I think Rebels is very important too.
I'm really enjoying Rebels.
But this...
Do you watch any Rebels, Simon?
No, I do not.
I think you'd really like it.
I'm too busy watching Riverdale.
Gotcha.
I'll get there, I promise, one day. Now I'm going to watch some new JLA show I've never heard of.
The cartoon.
Yeah, JLA something.
Action.
Yeah. All right, well, now what's Bob's number one?
My number one is Lion.
What?
Yeah.
That's the Dev Patel movie, right?
Yes, it
my is. Wife loves this movie. I saw it. It was very strong. Probably like 13 or 14 on my list.
The reason I put it on, where like the kid as a kid, he gets lost he gets lost on the train station.
No, his brother doesn't come back for him.
And we find out why.
But don't say that.
I'm not going to say it.
And then he sees a train, Kevin, so he gets on the train looking for his brother. And he's never seen a train before, so he gets on it and gets taken hours away from where he grew up.
Yeah.
And this is the story of him finding out where he came from, because he gets adopted and goes to Australia.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And that's the story.
And then he finds his way back using Google Maps. He finds out he's been pronouncing both his name and the town he lived in wrong for all these years. For over 20 years. And no wonder he couldn't get back to it because he had the wrong name. He kept calling it something else and he kept saying his name was Saru and it was something totally different.
Which means lion.
Right.
You don't find out until the end of the film. That's a spoiler.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh. It's a strong film, Kevin. I think you would like it.
It is a strong film. I enjoyed it really. I know.
Wow.
Well, Deadpool was number one for the longest time. And then I saw Lion and went, oh, I have to.
I'm shocked. I love Lion, but I didn't make my time. I did enjoy it. It's a very good film.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, my number one film is Sing Street.
What?
Yes. No issues for me, Kev. It's in my top five, so.
I'm only saying what because I'm surprised it is in your, like, number one. I'm a little shocked.
You know what? It's a rare film. I love movies. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're all on this movie because we love movies. But this movie reminded me why I love movies.
Oh, I agree.
I felt really good watching this movie. I enjoyed the writing. I enjoyed the characters. I really enjoyed the music.
I agree.
The story, the longing, his affection for that girl.
Yeah.
And it drives him. It just works on so many levels that it's like pure movie magic.
Yeah.
Have you seen Once yet, Kevin?
What's that?
His film called Once.
No.
You need to see Once. I like it better than Sing Street.
Really? Okay.
That's his first film.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that then.
Absolutely. I didn't like his second film at all. I can't remember what it's called. It's a little more Hollywood, his second film. Didn't like it. Didn't hate it. And Sing Street's his third film.
Mm-hmm. So. I just, when they're making their first video in the alleyway.
Yes.
And they're all... They've all got their costumes that they put together.
And wonder if the girl's going to show up or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I loved it.
Their makeup and fixes them up a bit.
How many times have you seen it, Kevin?
Just the once, just the one time.
Wow, I'm shocked.
I've been meaning to watch it again, but there's been a lot of things to watch. Yeah. Catching up on this, on the 2016 movies. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't recommend the film higher. It was a great year for genre films.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy. I mean, look at three great Marvel-derived films.
Yeah.
Star Wars came back. We obviously are all in fair agreement that the other companies' films aren't doing their well. Not quite to be on my worst list either, which is kind of, I wish that they were in my worst list because,
feel something about them.
Yeah. Other than just disappointment, and it's sad. I mean, I hope Wonder Woman can reverse the trend for DC, but I don't know. I'm not hearing good things there either.
Neither am I.
But I can't wait for Guardians, and I can't wait for Spider-Man, and I can't wait for Thor, can't wait for Black Panther, and then they do a teaser for Infinity War this week, which looks fantastic. And you can see the joy and the enthusiasm that all the actors have for the project.
You can't watch it.
Can I watch a teaser trailer? I think I saw a teaser trailer.
It's a set visit. It's not an actual continuity thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can watch that.
Yeah. It's just, and then there was a great Robert Downey Jr. did a little Q&A on his Facebook page. He says, hey, you know, since we released the video for Infinity War, here I am on the set. And, you know, and his cameraman, he keeps referring to his cameraman as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you think Peter Parker will be in this film? And then he turns the camera around and he goes, I think he just may be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. And then Chris Pratt walks and he says, hey, guys, what's going on? You know, do you have any questions for me? And he's like, well, I guess you're in this one, too. Spoilers, and then they turn the camera off.
Yeah.
You can tell. I mean, there's three guys that are just having a great time. The same thing when you see Chris Evans and the actor who's playing Falcon. You can tell they're just having a great time.
That's good. Anything else? Are we good?
Yeah, this was a long episode. Do we want to finish up with anything? Did anybody buy anything?
No.
Yes.
I've been watching a lot of old westerns.
I noticed.
That's where I can go. I also strongly recommend the series Fleabag, the BBC series Fleabag. No. But that's about
no time today.
I enjoyed a series of Unfortunate Events.
Loved it.
Good.
I want to see that.
Watch that in 4 days.
I also can recommend the Santa Clarita Diet.
I'm doing the Atkins again.
No, it's a show called the Santa Clarita Diet. It's about Drew Barrymore and the guy from Justified.
Sorry, my bad.
She, for some fluke reason, she becomes a zombie.
Okay.
And that's her Santa Clarita diet, is that she has to eat raw meat from humans. Ooh. And still try to be a normal family. That was quite good. It was funny. It's subversive.
Most things with cannibalism kind of are subversive. So
yeah. Now, as far as buying stuff, I bought one movie on iTunes called The Love Witch.
Oh.
I've heard very good things about that.
I wanted to see it because I've heard very good things about it. And I hope that we'll review it on a future episode.
I'll watch it this week.
It looks like a 60s movie.
I'll probably watch it. Don't worry.
It's just the film itself is kind of...
Who's in it?
Nobody you'd recognize.
Okay, I'll watch it. You know I will.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Simon.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Joe.
Intern.
And if they make it...
Simon puts it on
Simon has to watch it compulsively.
Yes. And then put it on his top 10 worst.